Lord. The Lord bless each and every one, and we give everyone a very warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And you know, as them children come out this morning, there's someone I noticed. And I noticed that when Mark came out as well, they were smiling.
Amen.
Smiling. Isn't that great?
Glory.
Praise God. And I tell you, wee brother Larry said one week about the face on you like a lurking spade. And then another brother, I think it might have been John, said we need to have a face like a bag of chips. That's a smiling face. A face like a bag of chips. You're smiling, it's not right. Praise God. But the Lord says that the joy of the Lord's our strength. Amen. And laughter, the Bible says, is as a medicine. Praise God. And we certainly need a good dose of it. Praise God. A dose of God's medicine. Amen. But God bless, and it's great to see our brother Ian doing the Sunday school with the children. Each Sunday, 10:45 onwards. And any of the children, bring them along. Our sister Carl, she's in Australia for a break with the family. Timothy's got work already, I heard. So Timothy's working in Australia already. So he might not come back. And he's even got the beard shaved off, was told this morning. And they found that product just for men. There's some fellas in here use it, and that look anywhere in particular. I think it's something to do with killing grey hairs, but I don't need it. Praise God, you know. There's a brother came one time, and maybe I shouldn't be joking, but there's a brother came one time, and he looked up at Brother John here, and he says, "I see there's a bit of snow on the mountain." This particular brother was going bald. He was bald, and John says, "And I see there's a thaw." But he never knew what John said, but we all knew what he said. Well, it was all in good taste. Praise God. I remember years ago when we were at the schoolhouse, there's a wee brother from the south of Ireland, and he is a case, I tell you. He thinks he's Martin Luther. And he was a converted Catholic, and he said the priest beat him with a whip and everything when he left the Roman Catholic Church. And he's called Martin. But we had a man from Canada once, and he came over, and I'll just be honest with you, he thought we were all wet behind the ears. And we didn't know anything. He preached this for about 3 hours. I don't know if you remember that, but I can remember it. I won't mention his name. We couldn't get him to stop preaching. I was praying at the last, God would stop him, and that's the truth. It went on that long. But we came outside, and Martin, of course, went over to him. Martin says, "Brother, did you ever hear of the Blarney Stone?" And this brother from Canada said, "No, never heard of it, brother." He said, "Well, I think you swallowed it." And the Blarney Stone, if you kiss it, brother, here in Ireland, it makes you talk well. But he reckoned this Canadian preacher swallowed it. He didn't know when to stop. But, you know, Martin said to me once when I was down in Dublin preaching, and he said to me, went back to the house for tea, and he says, "Tom, you know, the priest brought me in." And he was real serious. And he says, "You know," he talked to me, and he says, "Martin, you're not Martin Luther, have a lot to answer for." He loved being numbered with Martin Luther. I tell you, wouldn't it be great to be numbered with Martin Luther? Praise God, a wonderful servant of God, praise God. Let us turn this morning to 1 Kings, and I'm still thinking about revival, hunger for revival. I've been thinking about this since last week, and thinking, what could you preach about revival? And it's one thing for you to have a revival. You can have an individual revival, and every one of us need that. Then it's another thing to have revival in the church. Then it's another thing for that revival to break out in the community. But there's one thing we must all agree on this morning. We need revival. And I know a lot of people say the revival's over. Well, then that's like us saying to God, my individual revival then's over as well, is it? No. We can all have revival in our hearts if we get close to the Lord. Let's read from verse 21. And I won't read all this. This is a wonderful portion of Elijah. And Brother Gary sang about this here this morning. Verse 21 to 25, then 37 to 39. Just for way of time, I'll read a few verses. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I even only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now we know that God had a lot that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. We know that. But Elijah maybe didn't know it. He thought he was the only one left. And sometimes it can get like that. You can think you're the only one, but God's got lots more. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose bullocks of themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress other bullocks, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it, and call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, singular, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Does not sound like Malachi 4, 5, and 6? The heart was turned back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord. Singular. Capital. Not an S on the end, but one God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this morning. And if you ever need, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. We want to pray again for the Madison family, for God's comfort at this time as well. God bless. There's so many needs. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. We're privileged, Lord, that we can gather anywhere, whether it's a wee tent or a room or in a field. You've promised you are in the midst, and that to bless us. Father, we seek the blessing of the Holy Ghost this morning. We lift before you every need in this room, for you told us to bring our petitions before you, Lord. We pray you'll meet every single need in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking you again for Sister Sheila. Spur her life, Lord. Raise her up. I rebuke death over her and I speak life upon her. And I ask that her organs and her heart and everything will come back to normal. That she'll begin to function, Lord, and she'll live and not die. In the name of Jesus Christ, answer our prayers, for we're asking it in your name. And you said, if we ask anything in my name, the name of Jesus Christ, I will do it.
Amen.
Father, bless this service, strengthen and encourage your people. I pray, Lord, for Brother Ian and his hand. You'll touch him and heal him. And bless all these sweet children at the Sunday school and those other children, maybe not even in this room, but on our hearts. Save every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray throughout this land for anyone will pick up this Bible and preach the truth, that you'll bless them and add to your one true church such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you do in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray also for the Madison family at this time. Bless and strengthen every one of them. Comfort them. Be with them. For all the widows, even in this fellowship, strengthen and comfort them. And for those on the holidays, bless them and strengthen them and watch over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Before you sit, shake hands with somebody and say, God's going to bless you. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? I tell you, there was a desire here to put God to the test. A desire to put God to the test. God wants to move. But you know, so many times people want to put their theories up, the programs up. But God doesn't need a theory. God doesn't need a program. God can be put to the test. There's a scripture that says, prove me now, says the Lord, and see if I'll not bless you. God wants to bless his people. But God wants us to be hungry for him. Not hungry for a movement or some name or some program, but hungry for the Lord. And as we get hungry for the Lord can bless us and the Lord can fill us. We need to lay our theories aside. Our man-made principles need to be laid aside if they're not scriptural. And God can do something. God wants put to the test. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He wants put to the test. He wants us to move in faith. The man of faith is never afraid to risk it all in honor of God. Just like Abraham in Hebrews 11:17. And it says, by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And that had and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Abraham was willing to put Isaac on the altar. He received him as one from the dead. The Bible says that. He received him as one from the dead. It was impossible for Sarah to have children. But God met them. Abraham had a visitation by God. Not by some movement or program. It's all right for men to pick men. That's fine. But I'll tell you one thing. If God ever picks a man.
Amen.
And if God ever speaks to the man. And if God ever moves on a man. Then that's God's man. That is God's man. And Abraham was God's man. And God met Abraham. And God done something very special for Abraham. And God said to Abraham, I am an exceeding shield and thy great reward. Abraham, walk thou before me and be thy perfect. You know, there is perfection today. Some people say, there's no perfection in this life. There is. And it's in Christ. Not in your own self, it's in Christ and through Christ. For we're made complete in him.
Amen.
Through his precious blood. Abraham had faith. Now here Elijah, give them the test. The test was the answer by fire. Whoever's the real God, let him answer by fire. Elijah gives the test to all these false prophets. Remember the background of this whole story, and I haven't time this morning to go through all the background of this story, but he's run from Jezebel. At one point, God has told him there's going to be no rain for 3 years. And Ahab's on his trail. Then he meets a fellow that feared the Lord and hid so many of the prophets of God, and he came from Jezebel. He meets him, and he says to him, go and tell Ahab. And your fellow trembles on his knees. He says, you're joking. Ahab's looking for you, and you want me to go and tell him where you are now.
Amen.
And that's part of the whole story, and it comes right down to this showdown. Here, where God's on the showdown. You see, it's not Elijah in the showdown, it's God in the showdown. Some people get the thing mixed up, they think it's the man, it's God. God will always honor his word. God will always stand over his word. God's word cannot fail, and God cannot fail. A preacher in America preached a sermon. He preached the greatest failure was God. As soon as he preached that sermon, I said it publicly, he is now a false prophet. Because God is no failure. God cannot fail. I tell you, he said, let the God answer by fire. Quite a reasonable test for them. It was a reasonable test Elijah asked because they worshipped Baal. And surely it was a reasonable test because he was the sun god. The sun god they worshipped. These people worshipped the sun god. Did you know people worshipped the sun god? I don't want you sleeping in here this morning. But you know people worship other gods. You go to India. And I have the old videos of T.L. Osborne in India. And they worshipped all sorts of things in India. And you know when William Branham went to India, and then all the religions of the world in India. All the religions, all the false religions. And there's a man there that was blind. And they all kept turned all these religions to come up and give their speech and give their talk. And it became William Branham's turn. And he said, here's a man blind. And he says he's blind probably because he worshipped the sun. And he put his eyes out worshipping the sun. But he says, let one of your gods come and open this man's eyes. You know, the Hindus and all the different religions of the world, but nobody moved. But then he said something like Elijah here in the Bible said. He said, if the God I serve doesn't open his eyes, you can write false prophet on my back and march me down through the streets of Bombay in India. And he stood up, but he brought the blind man before him. God had already shown him in a vision what was going to happen. And he asked for his eyes to be opened, and that man's eyes come open, and thousands of people received Jesus Christ in one altar call because they saw the God of Elijah. And here the God of Elijah in the Bible challenges these that worship the sun god. Surely this sun god wouldn't fail these great multitude of prophets. Surely he was real. And a lot of people today that worship the devil and don't know it. Like a brother Mark mentioned the other night, there is the beast and there's the image to the beast. And the image to the beast is the Protestant churches. And Rome, they want to be like Rome. They want to take their doctrines and their teachings and they copy them and even preach them. And if you go against it, you'll be kicked out. Because they want to go back to mummy Rome. And you remember the Church of Rome has 68 million murders on her own martyrology. 68 million the Church of Rome murdered and martyred. And the last Pope Antichrist come out and he apologized for it. Even on television. I told one fella about it. He said, I don't believe that. I said, well, it's on television the other night. 68 million they admitted to it. And I tell you, Rome wants the move of God stopped. That's why the Pope stood up. Somebody said you shouldn't preach against the Pope. Well, if you don't want to hear the Pope preached against you, you should never come here, because I will preach against him. Amen. I'm against them. From the crown of my head to my big toe, I'm against the Pope alone. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. I'll tell you why I'm against them. Any man that says, come to me, and don't come to Jesus, is false. I don't care if he wears a collar or wears any movement or organization, he is Antichrist. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. Somebody said you're too hard on him. You could never be hard enough on the Pope. He is Antichrist. What about the millions of people that's in darkness this morning? What about the millions of people that's praying to dead people in graves? What about the millions of people that's eating a wafer, believing that they're going to receive eternal life, and it's a life from the pit of hell itself? Jesus Christ is the only bread from heaven. He said, if you receive me, you'll live forever. There's no other message, brothers and sisters, no other gospel, but the gospel of Christ. And here Elijah challenges them. He challenges them. And they took a wee bit of a fit. They leaped about and hopped about. And they called and shouted in the road. And Elijah mocked them. Maybe your God's went on a far journey. Maybe he's sleeping and you need to call. You can read in your Bible there in chapter 18 in 1 Kings. And he says, call a little louder. And I tell you, before Elijah asked God to send the fire, he said, get some more water. And they brought the water from the sea, and you can prove that from Jeremiah's gospel. Jeremiah, can't remember the chapter, but it's in that. And it names the very place for the water where the sea was there. Close by. And they could bring the water from it, because they weren't getting it nowhere else, because remember it hadn't rained for 3 years. It had to come from the sea. And they wet that sacrifice. And he told them, get it wet even more. Amen? Their God was a voiceless myth of their own imagination. And I tell you, the Bible forbids you to pray to the dead. Let me enter. And not only is he living, he's interceding. Praise God. He says, why halt ye between two opinions? They halted between man's opinion and God's opinion. And man can have an opinion, but man's opinion is not the word of God. Isaiah 55 verse 9, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your, my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, listen to this carefully, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God is saying in the natural, if the water from heaven produces something, what will my word not produce? My word will produce something. It'll perform something. And when God's word's preached, people think, oh, nothing happened, nothing happened. You don't know that. God could have moved on somebody you know nothing about it. And you can hear a testimony 30 years later that God done something for somebody. Look at that fella over in Australia, stood in the corner giving out them wee leaflets, said the Lord's coming soon. Come to find out, multitudes were saved from that one man. I tell you, brother, if God leads you to do it, do it. If it's only a track. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We must have believing prayer. I've wrote these things down, believing prayer. When we pray, we must believe something's going to happen. I need somebody when I'm praying to say, brother, I agree with you.
That's right.
I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't need somebody to go out that door and say, did you ever hear the like of the prayer he prayed? How would God do that? How would he do it? God can do anything. How would he do it? Now you see that the devil gives you that thought. How would he do it? The devil gives you a thought. He couldn't be saved. He's too deep in. He's too much down. He's too this, he's too that. Jesus Christ can save anybody. Oh, I like what old W.P. Nicholson said, from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
The Lord can save anybody. Never give up. Never give up. Claim them. Plead the blood over them. Tell them they're going to get saved when you see them. Say, I'm praying you in. I'm believing you're going to come. You've no choice. You're going to be saved. And if they say anything back to you, look up and say, or look down and say, devil, you're a real liar. I believe God. Amen. Devil is a liar. He'll tell you God can't do it. You see, there has to be focus. There's no focus, no excitement. Now I want to tell you this here. When Elijah approached this, when Elijah went to do his prayer, Elijah didn't run about. Elijah didn't do any of them things. Elijah knew the God he was serving. Amen? He knew who his God was. He knew God was going to do it, because remember, this is the same Elijah that prayed and it never rained for 3 years. This is the same Elijah. When they thought he would be starved to death, God sent ravens and fed him. Ravens. Said it to Brother Ewell the other day, I heard this bird chirping. Ewell said, that's a raven. Now, I don't know much about ravens. It's some sort of a crow, brother. They know the Bible classes them as unclean. But God used an unclean bird to feed Elijah. God met his need. It didn't come the way he thought.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes it might come the way you think.
Amen.
But God will still do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you amen it when he does do it.
Glory,
glory to God. God can do what he wants to do because he's God.
That's right.
Glory. I tell you, God done it. And he told them. He had no fear. He knew God was going to do it. Praise God. And he told them, he calmly built the altar. And you know he built the altar of 12 stones because of 12 tribes of Israel. He rebuilt the altar of the Lord. Oh, I don't know if you can get this, but there's a principle of that through the whole Bible. The first thing Noah did when he got off the ark, he built an altar to the Lord. Hallelujah! And the enemy wants to pull the altar down and the wall down. And you read it even in Ezekiel, shall these feeble Jews rebuild the wall of God? And the devil didn't want you to build that wall and prepare that altar and redig the wells. Right. Mm-hmm. He wants to keep them blocked off. So you can't get a drink on them, but God wants you to repair the walls and build up the breach and open the wells up so you can get a drink. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And Elijah went about this whole thing calm and sure because he knew who he was serving. Amen. And he said, go and get the barrels of water. Go and get the wood. And he rebuilt the sacrifice of the Lord. Let's pick it up in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Now, when you read the sons of Jacob in the Bible, how many know God changed his name to Israel? He was called Jacob, but God changed his name to Israel. And God said, your seed shall be like a sand upon the shores. He first told Abraham. Then Isaac come out of it and right down on to Jacob. How many knows that? And he called him Israel. God changed his name. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
You know, you have a new name written.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that great? God's a special name for you. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this morning. Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Verse 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with the water. And it came to pass after the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac. He went right back to the foundation. That's what he done. You see, there's something in the Bible, and you read this. Here's the way it goes. Once more will I look to thy holy promise, Lord. And then he says, God has promised if you'll turn back and look to that place, you'll hear from heaven. And brother, I don't care where you've been. Sister, don't care where you've been. But you have a place this morning that you can look back to. That's the cross of Calvary, for Jesus died for you. And if you'll once more stop for a moment and look back to that place, you will hear from heaven. God will answer you. He'll restore you. He'll renew you. He'll bring you back and he'll bless you because that's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
God will do it. Hallelujah. Elijah the prophet came near. Look at verse 37. Hear me, O Lord God. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their heart back. God's spirit turns a man's heart. Nobody else can do it. You can have someone in there 1,000 miles away, their look as dark as pitch in the heart.
That's right.
But I want to tell you, the Bible calls this gospel the glorious light of the gospel. Yes. And when the gospel light strikes a pitch black soul, it lights it up bright. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And that's revival right there. When somebody gets saved and filled with God, that's revival in that person. And it's nothing else. Hallelujah. I would that God would bring it in every one of us, not our children. Now, I know there's more to revival than that, but that's just your starting bit. Praise God. God can lighten it up. God's word is a lamp on our feet and a light unto our path. It lights us up. God wants us lit up. Hallelujah. A candle's not set in a bushel, but it's, you know, you need a candle lit that people can see it. You don't hide the candle under the bushel. When you have it out for it can be seen. There's 4 things here Elijah urges when you read through this, and I'm going to close in a moment or two. It won't be long. We'll do communion. May I tell you, God's real. 4 things. That it might be known that thou art God. That's the first thing Elijah's going to put forth, that it might be known that thou art God. The people knew the God of Abraham and of Isaac, but people forget. They forget. They forget. Even John the Baptist forgot. How many with me this morning will agree with me? John the Baptist said, are you the one, or do we look for another? This is the same John that said, God the Christ, the Son of the Living God. This is the same John that baptized Jesus. Now John's in jail and he says, are you the one, or do we look for another? And Jesus said, go tell John You need reminded he's a savior. You need reminded he's a healer. You need reminded he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You need reminded he's a coming king. You need reminded he's a comforter. He's a prayer answer. He's the warrior of all warriors. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the first of 10,000 to my soul. The bright, the morning star, the rock of all ages. The Prince of Peace is he. The Prince of Life is he. His name is Jesus Christ. We need reminded that it might be known that thou art God. Then what else did he say? That I am thy servant. I tell you, God proved Elijah was his servant. There's a lot of people thought maybe they had someone, but they didn't have what Elijah had. Are you hearing me this morning? Elijah had something special, not because of himself, but because God chose him. Salary was given to him even before he was born. I let God choose him. He was a prophet of God, chosen by God, and nothing could change it. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of people, they know they'd put you out, wouldn't they? Oh, they'd put you out in the morning. And you're not part of our group. You don't just see it the way we see it. You're not part of it. You just one. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
But remember, it's God that put you in, and no man can put you out.
Amen.
I tell you, not only did God say to Noah, come in, but when God got him in, he sealed him in. There was no returning. No returning. And we need the seal of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians said, whereby you're sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. No, we'll make it. You've made it. That's the Bible. That's the word of God, the Holy Ghost. Here's what else he said, that I have done all these things at thy word. He did it because the word said it. Why is that fella going out and preaching to get people saved? Because Jesus said, go into all the world. That's why he's doing it. Why did that fella lay hands on the sick? Because Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick. Why is that pastor calling the elders to pray for people? Because he read the book of James and said, call the elders and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will heal them. That's why it's happening. It's according to the word of God. You have a right to ask God to do something when you're on the word. How many follows me?
Amen.
If God sends you, God is obligated to take care of you. I believe that. I absolutely believe it. Here's another thing, this fourth thing, that the heart of the people might be turned back. Verse 37, God wants your hearts turned back. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Come. And he shall turn the heart of fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We are promised the coming of the spirit of Elijah that foreruns the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the Bible. It does not come in a group like some people pray and preach. It comes in one man. And I believe it's happened. And I believe God's done it, but nobody wants to know nothing about it. But God's done it anyhow. It's not up to man, it's up to God. There's no organization can stop what God's going to do. God has always got a people. He always has a people. And when there was nobody else, he had Elijah. Now that we know there was more, but Elijah didn't maybe realize it, he thought he's the only one. But God still done it. Amen? God still done it, brother. Many times you maybe feel you're on your own, you're walking on your own, you're traveling on your own, but hear the word of the Lord this morning. There is a friend with you that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord's with you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. He's closer than the breath you breathe. You mightn't always feel him, but he's still there. He's still there. Like that little story when they went over the sand. And the fellow said, when I got it most difficult, I only saw one set of footprints. Lord, you left me. And the Lord said, no, that's when I carried you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says he birthed us up on his shoulders.
Amen.
And he carries us.
Glory.
Glory to God, the Lord carries us. We'd have fallen. We wouldn't have been here. But the Lord preserved us. David sung to the Lord because he knew the Lord preserved his soul. Amen. Oh, but brother, I've made mistakes. David made mistakes. David committed adultery. David put Uriah the Hittite to the forefront of the battle and had him killed. he repented. He repented. He repented. And the Lord heard him. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when we read the Psalms, it's a blessing. Because God heard David. And David could say, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. It was a cry for the vindication of God's own honor. A cry that was immediately answered. God answered it. Despite of the water around the sacrifice, despite of everything that was done to go against it, God done it. God says, I will work a work, and who shall let it? When God takes to do a work, nobody can stop it. God's going to do it. Amen. Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell, 1 Kings 18:38, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that it was in the trench. I tell you, that was a real Pentecost day for Israel. Amen?
Amen.
That was a Pentecostal for Israel. The fire fell. And we need another Pentecost today. Not an organization, but the Pentecostal fire to fall. Hallelujah. Now I'm almost finished, but I'm not just finished just yet. Because I'm going to give you some scriptures to let you know God wants you to have it. Amen? Because some people think Pentecost's not for me. Well, the organization's not for me, where they have a disco going, but the experience is. Amen. There's a real Pentecost. There's a real 20-pound note that might be fixed, but there's a real one. And I don't throw out the real ones because I got a fake one once. No, I will more of them real ones I can get, the better. Get them to me. Amen. You need the real Pentecostal fire. Now I tell you, it comes from God. God sends it. He is the baptizer. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let me read you this, what I wrote this morning or last night. People today are always trying to set up a platform for God. Listen to this. I wrote this. I believe God gave me this. People today are always trying to set a platform up for God to move. Hear this. Write this down. God's already got a platform. Pentecost.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? People are trying to build a platform for God to move, but God has already a platform. It's Pentecost. The church began on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And I tell you, she'll end on the same revelation she started on. Because God never changes his mind about his word. He's the same. Amen. But God is a platform. That's where the true church began. Pentecost. Not the organization, but the real Pentecost. Look at Acts 2 again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, hallelujah, they were in one place. They were the one accord in one place. They did the same thing, one place. They weren't in three or four different places. They agreed to be in one place at one time, in one mind, with one accord, waiting on God, hungry for God. The secret's hunger. That's the secret. We need to get an individual revival. I'm pointing at myself, but you need to point at yourself. Don't point somebody else. Don't you dare point at yourself. Oh, she needs revival. You need it. I need it. Every one of us need it. Then a prophet of God said, if you bring your lick of fire, and you bring your lick of fire, and I bring my lick of fire, something's going to happen. That's a lot of licks of fire.
Amen.
Amen. You have someone you can start a bonfire with, brother. Glory. Amen. I know some reasons why not getting it, but it's real anyhow.
Amen.
The Bible says, licks of fire come on them. Who believes that? Look at this. They were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as such a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. Now I know you'll get some smart aleck and he'll tell you it wasn't real fire and they couldn't actually see it. And he'd spend a whole big palaver on explaining it all away. But I believe it the way it's written.
Amen.
That it appeared on them. That means appeared. If someone appears here, you'll see it. The word appeared means you're going to see it. Hallelujah. Appeared. If I appear in your living room tonight, you'll know I'm there. Is that right? Yes. They don't know they've got it or not. You've got it. These fellas here, nobody said to them they didn't know it or not. Oh, they knew it all right. They were filled. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like eyes of fire. So it looked like fire. Now don't think I'm going to burn you like the natural fire, because it's a supernatural fire. But it looked like fire. Hallelujah. And it sat on each of them. I talked to an old brother. I worked around his house cutting trees down, and he said, "Brother Tom, and this fella's a good age, a real good age. He must be about 90. And he says, "You know, when we got the baptism," and he told me how many nights they spent in prayer before they got it. See, people want click the fingers, but they're not sincere enough. That's why they don't get it. God knows they're playing games. But if somebody's sincere, God gives them it. But he won't give you it if you're playing games. Church games. Fluff and puff. God's not into the fluff and puff. He's into the real thing. They led before God for nights. And he said, "I tell you, Brother Tom, I was filled with the Holy Ghost and I saw a lick of fire on me. And it stayed on me for almost a week." That's right. He never ate a bite for days. Fire of God stayed on him. He couldn't stop praying. He said, "Brother, don't pray near as much as you used to. Only spend about 2 hours in the morning now. Near 90. That's the truth. Near 90 years of age. Then we come to one revival. I tell you, Seymour was praying for 5 hours or something a day, and God said to him, "You're not praying enough." And he upped it to 7 hours a day. Somebody said, "I couldn't do that." Neither could I. But if God makes you and God leads you, you'll be fit to do it. Amen. We're too busy with the world. We're too busy. We have to go and meet so and so, or we have to do this or that, and we have no time for God. God wants his people in the secret place. Hear me this morning. Amen. If you want the power of God, you need the secret place. There's no substitute for the secret chamber of God for the power of God. Not getting no other way. Clicking your fingers won't work. It takes a secret place. These disciples had it. They had a Pentecost. Amen. How many believes it? Praise God. And I'm not finished yet. I'm finished in a moment. I might preach for 2 hours this morning and I'm finished.
Amen.
Keep you all day.
Glory.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with tongues, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There wasn't a wee fellow in their ear saying, "Copy me." That's not tongues. You won't need Pastor Joe or Jack or somebody else to tell you how to do it when you get it. How many of them in that this morning? There's too much of this nonsense saying what I'm saying. That's nonsense. Don't say what I'm saying. Go and give your own tongue. Don't copy in mine, because all you'll have is my Spirit. Not do you no good. But if you get the Holy Ghost, it'll do you good. Problem is, preachers have put the full emphasis on the wrong thing instead of God. Put the wrong thing. You know what the Pentecostal movement did, brother? You know what they did? It's all tongues. Now I'm telling you the truth. I believe in tongues and I speak in tongues as much as anybody. That's the truth. You should know that if you know me at all. I believe in speaking in tongues. But the Pentecostal movement put the whole thing on tongues. And that's wrong. I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. I want you children to watch me this morning, and I'm going to show you why. And this is real simple. Do you see these are boots, and not shoes. These are black boots. Great boots, brother. That's them ones you told me to get. Ian told me to get these boots specially. These boots are made for walking. Amen. Amen. But I want you to have a real good look at these boots. You see what I want for these boots? I never once said to the fella, "Give me a pair of tongues." I said, "Give me a pair of boots." Tongues was in them. And when I asked God for the Holy Ghost, tongues was with it. I didn't need to ask for tongues. I asked for the Holy Ghost. And the tongues is with the Holy Ghost. It's not the other way around. It's the Holy Ghost you need. And the gift comes with it. And God can give Would somebody say you haven't got it? Because I'm going to show you where the prophesied and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What if you had the gift of healing? What about that gift? And somebody said, how many gifts have you? Whatever one God wants, the Holy Ghost has them all. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost we want. The emphasis, tongues is good. It's good of tongues. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you can pray. How will earn us the best gift? But if you're looking at the Holy Ghost, get the Holy Ghost first. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if he's going to do it. Well, we're going to see now. He is going to do it. Luke 11, verse 9 to 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him up a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost? And it's not an S in the end, it's singular. The Holy Ghost, but all the gifts is with the Holy Ghost. How many can see that? And the fruits of Spirit as well. If you're sincere, God will give it. It mightn't be for me today. Our man was telling me it passed away with the apostles. Well, don't listen to that man anymore. That's the only advice I can give you. Read verse 39 of Acts 2 to him here for a minute. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, that's me and you, we were afar off Gentiles. Yes. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did God call you? If he didn't, you're not saved. God called you. You cannot come unless you're called. No man cometh unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. The promise is to you. The Holy Ghost is promised to you. And God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. God will visit people that are hungry for God. We need revival. I'm not preaching this to tell you we've got it and we don't need it. I'm preaching this to tell you we need it. I hope that's coming over. I need it, you need it, we all need it, and this church needs it. And everyone needs it. I tell you, people call the slightest thing revival. I tell you, we need real revival. Real revival. Now there's men in this country, they did see revival. We know that. There's no debating that. That's the absolute truth. And they might even have claimed to see half the stuff that some of us claim, but they've still seen revival. Is that the truth? Absolutely the truth. They've seen people coming in, I can tell you. God will visit people that's hungry. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now I'm coming to close. God's only need. There's only one need you need. Is a totally committed people. That's it. A totally committed people. Amen. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I waited before him. When I spoke in tongues, I can guarantee you that. And my mother can tell you, sitting in that chair this morning, the neighbors on both sides the next morning wanted to know what was going on in our house. Because they heard all about it. And I didn't do it so they would hear it, but I can tell you the fire of God come on me. And I knew it. And when God's power comes on you, you're going to know it. I stopped coming. All my buddies used to come on Sunday to go and do things. I cancelled them all straight away. Didn't need somebody to put my arm up the back. I didn't need somebody to come to church to carry me in. It's glad to get to church. Two services in the normal church, then an after church for another service. I must have went at least three meetings during the week. Me and Brother Edith here used to walk the streets of Bond Bridge and give 1,000 tracts out every single Friday night and to preach three openers every Saturday. I didn't know nobody'd seen somebody twisting my arm up. See, couldn't do it. People said to me, I'm not going to come. I told them, you're coming. They're here. That's the truth. You need to determine in yourself. I told you that on Thursday. You need to determine in yourself, brother. Sister, determine in your own self. Determine what, brother? That you're going to get close to God. That's it. Nothing to do with me or movement or anything. You determine in yourself how close you can get to God when you do that. And I'll tell you, God will do something for you. One more verse and I'm closing. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us transformed. Ray Comfort, I was listening, someone Ray Comfort said the other day, and I showed a fellow I was working with. This fellow's raw. Brother Rock knows him. People wouldn't have anything to do with him. I know even Christians, they wouldn't even have anything to do with him. But God led me to witness to him. I could talk with him real good. And God done something, you know. And I was letting him see a clip of Ray Comfort, and he, right away, something struck him. So Comfort knew what he's talking about. But Ray Comfort said he was a pastor, but God didn't call him to be a pastor. He was really an evangelist, and he gave the pastorship up. But people used to all come with the problems to them. That all these problems. And I'm sure some of these brothers know Ray Comfort. He did that great Bible, the Evidence Bible. It's King James. It's the only Bible. How many know that? But you know what he said when he visited people? They weren't getting on too well. Are you reading your Bible every day? First thing he asked them.
Yes.
Are you reading? Well, I read it last Sunday in church. That's a week ago. Read your Bible. You want your mind renewed? Read the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. The devil doesn't mind if you read the Telegraph or the Daily News or the local bulletin, whatever it may be, or some wee magazine. But even you can read, there's good Christian books, but if you're reading them and not reading your Bible, you're going to be deceived. You need to have a foundation in the Bible before you venture into anything else. You need the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation. And you need to feed on the Word of God. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, and then I'm going to ask the deacons to come. We're going to do communion. I've maybe talked, it's not late, but just bear with us. I felt led to preach this, what I've preached, you know. I don't even want to preach it, but I felt led to preach it. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 34. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation till himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not to condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the bread, for the wine. And we thank you for the cross, that it speaks of the cross, for your broken body. You're the true bread that came down from heaven. As we take this bread, we remember you. As we take this wine, we remember your precious blood that washes us, cleanses us from all sin. Sanctify these emblems. Sanctify the people. Lord, forgive me if I've said one thing wrong or missed or out of place. Bless your people. Lord, I need a revival. I'm asking you to revive me. And everyone in this room, revive us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the power of God. Fill this room. As we take this bread and wine, may the Holy Spirit sweep over this place. In the lovely name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen, amen. Maybe your sister could come and just play something softly. And I've had a baptismal service here. Brother, sorry.